Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said as one travels down the highway of life, it becomes evident that there are far more toll roads than freeways. We're happy to have the privilege of being with you today and talking with you about the Word of God. There isn't any book in all of the world that compares to the Bible. The reason being, God is the author of the book. Therefore, it ought to be handled with reverence and respect. In our study of the Word of God, we hope to convey that idea that the Bible is the Word of God and that you and I ought to be studying it frequently. Let's now return to our study, and we looked at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, when Paul said, "Consider the apostle and high priest of our calling, Christ Jesus the Lord." In other words, give consideration to Jesus Christ. And I believe that when we do that, we'll understand that the reason Jesus came into the world was to die to bring about our redemption, but also to give to us a perfect example. In the Hebrew letter, chapter 4, Paul points out the fact in verse 15 that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And so the Lord lived a sinless life. He thus became a perfect example for mankind to follow. So Peter says, "For even hereunto are you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." Certainly the effort of every Christian is to hold Christ up before others and to walk in the steps that our Master has taken. Therefore, in our study, we're just talking about the example of Christ, the perfect example he's left for us, and trying to translate that into our own conduct. Do you remember we pointed out the fact that Christ was devoted to his Father's cause? He would say in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, he's just 12 years of age at this time, "I must be about my Father's business." So there's the direction his life is going to take. Jesus didn't live very long, 33 and a half years here upon the earth, and his life was taken. But during that period of time, Jesus gave his life to the will of God. And so he would say, "Not my will, but thine be done." Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. So it becomes evident that Christ during his lifetime gave his life to following the will of his Father and in devotion to that particular will. Can you imagine the feelings that a human being would have when it comes time to facing death and death for which you are not really guilty? Well, that's the kind of situation Jesus faced. To be sure, he's divine, but also he's human. And so he faces the problems that humans have in facing the matter of death. And so he prays to his Father in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 7, "In the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayers and supplications unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him." And so the passage signifies that Jesus had a time when he was going back and forth as far as his physical man was concerned about the sacrifice of his life. But he was obedient. He became obedient to his Father even unto death. And that obedience, of course, made him the author of eternal salvation to all who will obey him today. Christ's dedication, then, is very clear. The question that then comes up is this: are we dedicated and following the example of Jesus along this line? I look at the Roman letter, chapter 12, begin with verse 1, read verse 2 as well, and I find a statement like this: by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, neither be ye transformed, but be reconciled or transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Now let's look at the passage again. By the mercies of God. Well, Paul had just gone through that in the previous chapter. He pointed out the fact that there was a natural branch, that was the Jewish nation, and there was a grafted-in branch, that's the Gentile nation. And so Jew and Gentile together were accepted by God, and they became the body of Christ. Well, now look at this. Whether Jew or Gentile, God would accept an individual. Well, if both are together and they are accepted by God, then of course God has greatly blessed the human family. And so Paul begins the 12th chapter by saying, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. When Jews would look back on the redemption God gave to them, they would be thankful. When Gentiles would realize that God will graft them in and accept them as well as accept the Jew, they're thankful. And so, by the mercies of God, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, I don't know of anything outside of our bodies, our being, that we could present to God. We give our whole to Him. That means that we allow our lives to be governed and dictated by the way that the Lord would have us to react. You look at people in the world today and you can see that those in control of their lives are those who are, well, serving Satan and doing the things Satan would have them to do. Wrong control, isn't it? But what about a Christian? A Christian is one that God controls, not that He's domineering and not giving them choice, but rather that He has laid out for us what He wants us to do, and we have said, here's my life. I'm giving it to you. I think another passage that points that out clearly is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. Paul is simply pointing out the fact that our life no longer belongs to ourselves, but that we have given ourselves, presented our bodies, our body and our spirit, belong unto God. You know, when we understand that, that takes the grumbling and the complaining out of being a Christian. It makes a Christian a person who's happy to have the privilege of working for the Lord and the privilege of even suffering for the Lord. You remember on one occasion Jesus told His disciples when they were persecuted, "Happy are ye?" You know, you think about persecution, most of us would say, well, that doesn't make me very happy. Well, the idea is, I have been given unto the Lord, my life is His, and so suffering for the cause of Christ is simply an evidence that I'm living the way the Lord would have me to live. Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus, Paul tells the brethren at Thessalonica, shall suffer persecution. And so, indeed, we suffer persecution because of living godly. But that godliness has to be there. We're dedicated to the cause of Christ. Well, we appreciate very much the opportunity of talking to you about the example of Christ, and I hope that as we look at his example, a perfect example, we understand and translate that into our own lives. It simply means Christ was devoted to his Father's cause. Therefore, I, as a Christian, devote my life totally to the cause of Christ. We'll think about some more things along this line tomorrow. I hope you'll be listening. And remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.